Hi, everyone. Welcome to a special ThunderTech Digital Marketing Roundtable. Today, we are talking paid digital media. I'm Tom Valentino, Communications Specialist here at ThunderTech, and I am joined by three of my esteemed colleagues. We have Dave Crater, Optimization Team Manager, JP Cranes, our Senior Account Manager and Media Specialist, and Madison Bender, Social Media Team Manager. Welcome, everybody. So, each of you here at the agency work with a different aspect of paid digital media in each of your respective realms. Dave, I'll start with you. How would you say that paid digital media has really evolved over the past year or so?
Well, Google has a lot of pretty exciting things going on in the works right now. They're now using your search terms, seeing what you've searched over the past 30 days to target ads to you. They're also going to improve the conversion tracking of its AdWords platform. So now you can tie your offline activity to your online activity. So they use that by the location targeting on your Android devices. If you have that turned on, they see if you clicked an ad and then went to a store, and then tie that back to your AdWords data to help you show your return on investment.
Okay. JP, what are you seeing out there?
You know, when it pertains to mostly digital display through ad networks and exchanges, I'm seeing two sort of things that have evolved in this last 6 to 12. One of them is the user's flexibility to control their cookies. So the information that is being stored from browser session to browser session, you know, people are either getting rid of it or erasing them. Well, how does a marketer track that? So that's on the client side, which is really interesting for us from an agency perspective of how do we then target them if they have no trace of where they've been or what they're looking at. On the agency display side, we're starting to see our customers start to ask about DSP, demand side platform. So this is the ability to buy display ads when it's good for their audience. So I can go in and buy, just like Dave on the Google AdWords side, I can buy the terms and ad space that I want when I need them. So I can go in there, find what I want, bid on those, get aggressive pricing, and then go. And that seems to be a path that some of our clients are looking at as opposed to the traditional buy of buying something and running it for 30 days.
Okay. Madison, anything interesting jumping out at you?
Right. Social media advertising, just the breadth of opportunity that has come about in the last 6 months, the past year. Mostly the tools just enhancing what they're able to offer. That's more data, more automation, more customization, and Facebook the end of last year acquiring a major ad solution, Atlas, and how that hopefully will change the landscape of social media advertising.
All right, guys. Are you seeing clients really taking advantage of any of these things lately?
Yeah, one of my clients is using that in-market targeting, which uses your search history to target ads to users. It's working out really well for them. It's a lot different than the search network on Google, where those clicks can be very expensive, around $50 to $70 sometimes. And this new in-market targeting allows us to get clicks on websites across the internet for a couple of pennies sometimes. So they're seeing a really good return on investment from it and excited to see how it works for some other clients.
Okay. JP, as we start looking at some of the growing options, do you see these things creating more opportunities or more challenges and more things to juggle?
I think for a lot of our clients, it's a matter of education on the opportunities. So they come to us and say, hey, I want to advertise my goods and services on this news website. We say, okay, great. There's a couple different ways to do that. But what other plans are you actually integrating that with? So in the past, they would just do a digital campaign and throw it out there and, you know, people would look at it, maybe click on it, get to their website and we're good. But how do we educate the client in this case that they need to do more than just that? So they need to involve social, they need to involve Google AdWords, plus some of the digital display side, and then mix in a bunch of offline things. From there, we can look at what does the campaign in general look like, and then how does digital, in this case, support the rest of the activities that they're doing.
Okay. Madison, you see that happening as well from the social side?
Absolutely. Just to build off of what JP was talking about, earlier today we spoke about this, is the touch points, how many touch points you need to have to influence a consumer and to get them even to your website and then to convert. So it's, one platform is not enough anymore, and one platform needs multiple other opportunities just to succeed. So social media advertising, we can't do it perfectly without a great website or a great landing page. And I know, Dave, that you do the same thing with PPC, is having all these different tools laid out to tell the whole story and to inform the consumer. And within that, we're educating the client. So there are a lot of opportunities in front of us, if we're willing to kind of get into the different nooks and crannies and play with all the different ways to build out the campaign.
Yeah, it really kind of shows your authority as a brand when the customer sees your ads everywhere they go, across the internet, on social networks, on search results. Maybe you have two listings on search results, one paid listing and one organic free listing. I mean, you start to really look like the authority in that area, and it's, now you can do everything pretty inexpensively if you just target it right.
Do you guys find that it gets difficult to keep track or to track things as we start having all these different options and the playing field kind of changes as we're going along here?
Oh, for me, for social media advertising, no. I think tracking is definitely getting better. It's something that I think marketers started to complain about a lot, especially to Facebook and Twitter, the big two. And you know, analytics in the last 2 years for both of those platforms have just evolved tremendously. There's so many more opportunities for marketers. So, you know, if that's a small business marketer or an agency like us, they built out a variety of tools that makes it easier for us to track everything. And that could be scary on the consumer side if you're thinking about this and that creepy factor. But at the end of the day, it's helping us provide better content to people that's actually interesting to them.
For the digital display side, the tracking elements are great, and it's a nice baseline for what we want to do. But I think we're fighting against a little bit of tracking sort of very small numbers. And what is the relevance to the user and then to the actual customer if people are going, but their clips aren't any good, right? So everyone can go and click on the ad and get where they want to go, but does anyone convert after the fact? Do they spend time on that page or other pages? And so the tracking element doesn't just stop at who clicked the ad. Was it accidental? Was it for real? But how do they dig deeper into the site to get more of that information? And I know through both Dave and Madison's team, is they take the numbers that they receive from that, put it together, and say, this is what the user's seeing in general. Well, how can we then on our side understand from what the client is giving us that you've done all these things and here's the result that you're getting back? So the tracking is there, but what are the numbers behind that tracking experience?
Yeah, one exciting thing from Google's end is the ability to now kind of try to track things without getting a developer involved. So they've come out with this new tool called Google Tag Manager, and it's made really more for marketers and just general users to allow us to set up these complex tracking systems, without having to hire someone to install it, some coder. So that's really nice for us, for Madison and me.
Dave, would you call that the most interesting change you've seen recently?
Tracking wise, I think probably the offline tracking is probably more interesting. I mean, who would have thought that they're using your phone to see where you're going?
And yeah, that's the best part. That was
yeah, it's pretty crazy. I wouldn't have thought that technology was available or if anyone had opted into that, but apparently millions of people opt into location tracking because it helps with your maps and stuff. So when you search maybe, gas stations near me, you know, if you have that turned on, Google can better serve you more relevant results. But at the same time, they're using that data to see where you're going.
Are users aware that they've opted into that for the most part?
Yeah, you know, it's in the terms of service, since everyone reads those, right?
Cover to cover.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind to that point is that everything is anonymous, you know, that you can't track it to an individual. So it's just aggregate data that they're using. Yeah, or else you might be crossing the line a little bit there. But yeah, they Google takes privacy pretty seriously.
So building off of what Dave was talking about, for me on the digital display side, it is an interesting shift that we're starting to see where demographics are getting laid on top of location tracking. So in one example, there's a program out there that can actually take your location based on what either you've opted in for it or you hit the yes button on your phone to be tracked, but then also lays over some of the demographic information like household income, age, gender, to then give a marketers a good idea of who exactly is out there consuming their content. For example, if there was a grocery store opening up near town, I wouldn't necessarily want to advertise to people that live 50 miles away.
Sure.
Right? It may be in the same county or same general area, but I really want the people within that 5 to 10 mile range, and I want to make sure that I'm talking to people that can maybe afford the services that I provide. So in that case, I'm looking at household income, zip code, and possibly age, and then seeing if I can target my campaign and say to the grocery store in this case, here are the people that we're serving and how has traffic been. So there is sort of still that digital but then online, offline tracking that has to come together.
Yeah. And to go back to what we were saying about how these all work together earlier is take that concept, employ what this future Atlas Solutions will be, mm-hmm. and we can now bridge online to offline all the way through mobile devices back to the desktop and all the way through the back to the ad buy. So it really, again, layering it on top of one another, not only within one concept, but within multiple services, you can kind of build a picture of your whole audience.
Yeah, Google's getting a lot better with cross-device tracking as well. So seeing what you did on your desktop computer and then how you might have done something on your phone. Now you can track both of those with cookies and other methods. It is definitely getting more complex, but they're staying on top of it, and I think they're doing a pretty good job.
Dave, when you're talking about cross-device, I've noticed that Chrome in particular is just a everyday user of Chrome. I mean, you can sign in on one computer, and you can, whether you're on your laptop or if you've got Chrome on your phone or your home computer or something, and if you're signing in, you're carrying over your browser preferences, your bookmarks and all that. Does that sort of stuff that's like very front facing to the end user, is that also tying into what you're talking about here behind the scenes and what marketers are capitalizing on?
Sure. Yeah. So Google's using all of their products. You know, they're free for a reason. They're using them for tracking and for advertising purposes. So that's part of their data collection. They have toolbars that they use. So that's where you can get on other browsers and still have some of that tracking coded in there from Google. Android devices. So they're in that market. So they have tracking on that. And of course, Google Chrome.
And it's not just Google that's doing all this stuff, right? I mean, there are other, I mean, they're the heavyweight, the 100,000 pound elephant, so to speak. But I mean, there are other companies that are involved in this, in doing these types of things as well, right?
Sure. Yeah. So Apple's doing it a little bit, not as much on the ad side, but they're still collecting data. Microsoft as well. Everyone's trying to get in now. It's only going to grow.
Do you guys feel that just the lines between your respective practices are blurring more and more as we continue to evolve and as more of these things and technologies get implemented?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say from my side on digital display, you know, that the user just sees content everywhere, right? Maybe they distinguish if it's ads or native content or, you know, stories that are basically bought by other companies. For me, it's trying to understand how do we give the user relevant content and in places that they're already looking or searching for would have the propensity to want to purchase. So if we can loop together all those things that we're talking about here and put that in front of the user, we're going to get to that point of having more impressions to that person to actually make a purchase. But I think in the user's eye, it's kind of all out there. Just what catches my eye, and how can I say yes? That's something I want to explore more.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that you said content. I think Dave would too, that it's almost the focal point of anything that we need to do. So we may be talking about our digital marketing initiatives here, but we're increasingly coming to the point where if we don't have the content, what are we advertising or what are we sharing? How are we impacting audiences? Who are we educating? So the content is really something that's very important and to build off of.
Sure. Yeah. You don't always, you know, want to go directly for trying to get someone to buy, you know, buy today. It's kind of, you know, give people a break. Let them read about your company a little bit. Let them read some publication that you've written, kind of like what we're doing right now, and then build trust with the user before you force them to submit their information to you or something like that. Definitely.
Is there a fine line? I mean, I know and I think, Madison, you had mentioned earlier that number of times that you have to hit someone with a message or convey a point across before you'll get them to take action. Is it a fine line, regardless of what platform you're working on, that you have to walk in order to be effective without just turning people off, that you're, omnipresent, you're everywhere?
Absolutely. Yeah, you get into that creepy factor pretty quickly if you're just remarketing to someone all the time and you're following them around the internet. So it is important to diversify your options, your marketing options that you're presenting to an audience. And every user is different. So if one user sees my Facebook ad twice, they may complain, but others could see my Facebook, Twitter, and my blog posts and a bunch of other combination 10 times, and they might not even realize that it's 10 different touch points. So just being creative and keeping things changing and updated and timely makes the difference between angering someone.
I think when we educate our clients on remarketing or whatever, a lot of our clients go, wow, that's really cool. That was weird. I saw that ad for sneakers. Then we kind of explain how that happened. They're like, oh man, that sounds creepy. I don't like that at all, right? So at first they're like, when they thought it was elf and magic, it was like, that was sweet. But then they're like, oh, really? That's how you're getting all my information? Oh, I don't think I like that.
Yeah.
And it depends. I mean, if you're looking at things like, shoes or whatever, for the example I used before, that sounds like a good idea. I may not have wanted to purchase them right now. But, if you're maybe looking for another job while you were at work or something, and all of a sudden that ad shows up for that company, you're like, oh, Jenkins, what's up with this ad? And all of a sudden, I don't know, it just showed up, like, it's just weird things that people feel like, how did this happen, right? And then maybe they don't even know about remarketing. They're just like, wow, that's weird. How is this ad on CNN.com? That's really good marketing. When in reality, it's, there's a whole engine back there. A lot of that stuff happens blind to the consumer and it just kind of happens for that.
All right. So as we start to look ahead toward the second half of 2015, maybe even into the first half of next year, where do you see things going? On the optimization side or display or social, any of these fronts, where are we headed, guys?
I say for me, fingers crossed, I'm hoping that all these ad platforms that rolled out starting the end of last year start making their way into wider markets so that we can start using them for clients. So Atlas promoted pins for Pinterest. I'm hoping that Twitter is going to roll something else out pretty big and we'll be able to get into these more customized ad options.
For me, I see three different things that I'm kind of just looking out for and trying to educate our clients. One is making sure that you still have integrated plans, right? You're involving not only digital display, but PPC and social, plus the web work that it takes to actually land those types of people. Second, there's display gets sort of that bad rap of just kind of being that static content right up there. So what can we do to make that better for not only the user, but the client that's actually paying us the money? And there's some ad units out there called the Rising Stars, and they've been out for some time, but we're starting to see our clients start to ask about them because they're seeing them in their daily life, and those are basically those ads that expand and either move over the screen and have like little e-commerce integrations in them that you can arrow back and forth. So it's kind of a mini site within maybe content that you're there. And it's not obtrusive. If you want it to pull out, it can, and give users that experience that they may be looking for. And then the third thing is really educating our clients on what is actually out there and what are some of the things that could be quote-unquote evil, if you will. So there are plenty of unscrupulous partners out there that do things to take clicks from others. And when Madison and I went out to Austin for South by Southwest, we went to a presentation on how to be evil. And it was talking really about the experiences that other marketers have had with platforms that put digital display ads out, someone clicks on it, it automatically likes that brand's Facebook page, it posts on your wall that says that you like this brand, all without the user not doing anything. So a lot of like, you know, deceptive things that can happen blind to the customer, but how do we then identify those and say, okay, we need to use quality partners that are delivering quality content, so that way these digital display ads don't continue to go down the ignored or, you know, terrible click-through rate path and sort of get to a point where that content is still full and bring back. So hopefully that digital display.
Yeah. So I see Google really doing a big push toward app advertising right now. I think that's only going to continue to expand as, you know, mobile phones get more sophisticated, as well as in-game advertising with the apps on the phones. So that's just going to continue to rise. But then also I think that things are just going to get more expensive. The marketplace is already pretty filled up with people using these ads. It's not really kind of a hidden channel anymore. It's more mainstream now. So everyone's really getting in, which drives up the prices. So now I think it's going to evolve into this lifetime value type thing where it's like, how can we get more than one purchase from this customer to actually make a profit on it, you know, because you might have to pay more than you're willing to pay to get that first sale. You might actually lose some money. But if you get a returning customer, then that makes it worth it. So marketing automation with your emails, and then as well as, so you have remarketing too, just building lists of customers and then figuring out ways to continue to market to them is, I think, going to kind of be the future of this stuff.
Okay. If you're a middle market brand, and this last question I think we'll wrap up with, if you're a middle market brand, is there anything else looking forward to the next 6 to 12 months as you're putting your marketing plan together that you would be thinking about, or particular areas of emphasis that you'd be concentrating on going forward?
Oh, yeah. Well, for social, I think it's a lot about changing the entire mindset of social media being free. So when Facebook and Twitter entered as a marketing option, it was like, oh, it's free. It's an alternative to your website. And we're still combating that mindset every day. So it's not a question in 2015 and 2016 of if you will advertise on these platforms, but how you will advertise, how much your budget will be, other marketing initiatives you'll be dedicating to pushing to the social media ad campaign. So it's a lot about directing clients in that direction.
I kind of face the same thing with Google. You know, people are wondering why they're having to pay for these clicks when they can just get them for free on Google. Same thing. It's more competitive nowadays. So really, it's just you're going to have to pay at some point to get those clicks. And it's, you know, most of the time it's going to be worth it. So middle market brands, I would definitely recommend at least trying it out. You can get coupons for this stuff. For AdWords, you can get a $150 coupon to at least try it out. If at the very least, try out remarketing and see how it goes. You know, everything's very trackable. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But most of the time it can.
For middle market brands, to having your creative message out there and maybe some of the niche publications, their digital efforts, it may feel like, well, they know who I am and we're in this small niche and everybody knows each other. But this is your opportunity to talk about maybe something new or some way that you can help their business. You know, if you're providing new products or services, this could be a way to talk to them in a way that you won't get in any other way. I think laying sort of that baseline of digital display in those areas, then you can start to focus on, okay, how do I draw more people who may want to then be in this business? And now you're hitting them sort of the old-time guys who are there, but then the people who want to maybe get into that industry or whatever, now you've got sort of a two-pronged approach on that. I think having digital display for very targeted purposes is what middle market brands should be looking forward to.
All right. Excellent. I think that's a great place to stop. Dave, JP, Madison, appreciate you joining us. Thank you to all our listeners here. This has been the special ThunderTech Digital Marketing Roundtable.